Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback episode number 342, as this week we bring you the conclusion of WWF Royal Rumble 1993. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined, as always, by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, the effing king of recovery, Mr. Jim Valley. Jim, how are you feeling this week?
Of the vaccinated king.
Ooh, that's right. Recovery. That's right. Yeah, congratulations.
I got my two shots. It's been a couple of weeks. So I'm already running around licking doorknobs. I'm good.
Oh, he's perfect. All right. And now let's introduce the gentleman who will be guest hosting with us this week as we try to get through this lengthy Rumble process. Our good friend from the Pro Wrestling Torch, he hosts the WWE Then and Now podcast, in addition to flying jet planes, Mr. Frank Pettiani. Frank, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine with us, return to 1993, and go back to the time before we wasted our lives?
Well, that started for me about 7 years before this, Pat.
So, oh, okay.
It's a pleasure to be back. A pleasure to be talking to you guys. And this is quite a special Rumble rewatch. We had family over the house. We watched this live. It was a good time. We had a couple of laughs. So it'll be nice to reminisce. And speaking of the shot, I got my shot yesterday. I actually was able to get the onesie.
Okay.
And I'll give a shout to my company that set up a clinic, JetBlue. They set up a clinic at the main office, and really impressive. They had it all organized. They partnered with Northwell Health, and everything was just laid out. And you know, they took care of you. They made sure you stayed your 15 minutes, and it was really nice. So I'm glad to have gotten that. Jim, I'm glad to see you got yours. And hey, let's get out of this, right?
Right. Yep. That's awesome. Congratulations to kudos to JetBlue. Over here where I live in the Seattle area, I got mine on the Microsoft campus. So okay. I got the Bill Gates chip directly. So it's great.
Okay.
I went out, bought a Zoom. I'm sad. It's awesome.
All right. Well, good. We can be Zoom buddies now, Jim.
There we go.
There we go. Excellent. Absolutely. And I also want to give a shout out to all the good people and the other ones who are members of the of our Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. We got the totals back up to match our all-time high number of subscribers, for which we thank you. And we'll have to do something very nice to honor our man Jason, who has been a subscriber on our Patreon for like literally since the day it started, almost 11 months now. So we're going to have to do something nice for you, Jason. And, check your mailbox. I don't think we're going to send Ed McMahon over, but we are thinking of you, and thank you very much. And all right, I think we're almost ready to go. I think this is the point though where we do the reviews of this event, and we'll go through this quickly. I promise. Show reviews. First of all, from that spry young David Meltzer, who was from the San Jose Sacramento area, San Jose area. Dave Meltzer gave Sean and Marty 4 stars, Bossman and Bigelow 1 star, and did not rate the Rumble match. That part is a trend. He said, my feeling is, I believe he attended the show in person. He said, my feeling is it was better than a typical house show from WCW or WWF, and in no way was it a bad card. But in comparisons with other pay-per-view shows that I've seen live, it wasn't as good as most. I'd give it a thumbs in the middle. Wade Keller had Sean and Marty, their match, and the Bret Hart Razor Ramon match at 3.25 stars each, and gave the Rumble no rating. And wrote, if the Royal Rumble and Raw are any indications, the WWF is finally going to invest 100% effort into investing in the future. It should not be considered a gamble, though, because that implies they have a choice. Wade might have spoken a little too soon, but we'll get to that later. Torch columnist Chris Savisa, 1.5 rating total for the show. Shawn Michaels showed why he's one of the best three workers in the business as he carried Marty Jannetty to a solid 3-star match. That's pretty much it for the good stuff. The show was really, really bad. Thank you, Chris. Bruce Mitchell gave it a 4.5, wrote, Hart is still not over enough to be the standard bearer for the promotion. There is great potential in, puts the name of the Royal Rumble winner in there, but the WIF has a lot to do before he will be ready for the WrestleMania main event, particularly with Hart. And Mark Madden gave the show an 8, saying the WWF showed it will still be worth watching even without Slick Rick by staging a very solid show in Arco Arena. No great matches, but no stinkers either. Give the WWF a champ with charisma, and it might again make money. Then again, maybe not. So, coming out of the show, were you optimistic or not so optimistic, Frank?
It was weird because, like, I think Brett won the title a few months earlier, and yes. I was like, I was curious. I wasn't down. I wasn't optimistic. I was very curious, you know, because we had been used to Hogan and Savage and Warrior and all those guys, you know, for many years. And Brett, I thought Brett deserved a chance. I mean, I really did. You know, he had his run with the tag team stuff, and he was the Intercontinental Champion for a while. Had some great matches with Perfect and Bulldog. So, you know, I wanted to see what he would do. I was concerned that he didn't really have like the aura of a champion. He was kind of on the right. small side. But, you know, I thought he did a nice job. I mean, I wasn't, you know, like I said, I wasn't like excited, but I wasn't down. I was curious to see, because this was kind of the time that they were starting to get away. Even though Savage was still there, they were starting to move away from him. They were starting to move away from Hogan. I think he, I'm not sure if he returned on Raw at this point. I forget what Raw that was. I know it was one of the early ones with Beefcake.
He did not return to the next night on Raw.
Yeah. So, you know, but they were starting to move away from that. And yeah, I was curious to see what, you know, what was to come.
Jim, what were your thoughts coming out of this show?
Yeah, this is very much a transitional and almost experimental period in the WWF. I don't want to spoil it, but, yeah. You know, there's some spoilers on the show, some debuts that kind of got piqued your interest as far as what are they going to do with these people. And you could see that they're phasing some people down, phasing some people out, and they'd be gone before too long and bringing in new people. And you didn't know how these new people would work out. And then when you saw WrestleMania 9, you were like, yeah, no. No, this is not.
Yeah, no. It was a tough event. I mean, they went back to Hogan for a reason. I mean, you know, you could see they weren't. And I know there were other things involved with that, with Brett. I know there was a job and, you know, all kinds of stuff going on at the time. So, you know, they went back to that for a reason. But it's funny, like, and I don't want to get too far ahead here, but like, when Hogan was the champ again, it didn't feel like he was the champ. It was very weird. Like,
right.
I don't know if in my mind I was ready to move on from Hogan and move on to other things. But those few months up until King of the Ring, it just didn't feel like he was there. It just felt like, okay, yeah, we're doing this until we figure out what we're doing next. So, yeah, it was a very strange period. And, yeah, 9 was not a good WrestleMania. Not at all.
And we are back inside the very tranquil McNeil Command Center. Here where we're going to tell you about a very special place. And that place is our patron at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Now, you're probably asking yourself, Pat, aren't the shows free? And the answer is yes. Episodes we put out on Sunday are free to the general public. In fact, we have over 150 episodes available for free on our podcast feed. However, if you would like to support the show, and if you would like the entirety of our archives, you can always go to patreon.com/waybackplayback. There, for as little as $4.50 a month, you can get access to all of our shows, including the shows from the first 3.5 years that were behind the paywall previously. You can get access to those. You can get access to our shows in advance of when they go up on the podcast feed. And you can also get the version of our shows that comes without the commercial messages, including this commercial message that you are listening to right now. And yes, this does help support myself and Jim Valley, but you can also support Jim by going to gofundme.com/Jim-Valley-fundraiser and helping Jim and Carrie with the medical bills that they amassed in the 4 months that Jim was in intensive care. That's also helpful. But patreon.com/waybackplayback, you'll get all the episodes. You'll get them. You'll get the new ones ad-free and in advance. And you'll also get the bonus material, which we put together every couple of weeks. We try to do something special for the nice people in the Black Scorpion tier on Patreon. That's our $10 tier. And you'll get some of that material as time goes on. But the people on the Black Scorpion tier will get it several months in advance of the people on the $4.50 tier. So if you have money burning a hole in your pocket after the reduction in the cost of the WWE Network, and you have I don't know, 190 spare hours that you don't know what to do with, definitely sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, patreon.com/waybackplayback, and thank you for listening. Okay, so I didn't watch the show live. I was in law school down in South Carolina, but it's a Sunday night, so I live close enough that I turn on the radio and flipped over to the Jim Ross show on WSB on Sunday night in Atlanta. And for the first part of the show, they go over the Rumble finish, and the first caller is like going over explaining the finish to the Rumble and who's coming out of the Rumble to face Bret Hart, and Jim Ross just, boy, I just don't know about that. I don't know if that's gonna work. Now, obviously, he was working for WCW at the time, but yeah, I think that was the opinion of a lot of people. But yeah. Hey, don't take our word for it. Let's go ahead and get back to the show. We are at 1 hour, 26 minutes and 22 seconds. Howard Finkel is in the ring, and looks like they'd faded out the shot of Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan. So is everybody there with us?
I am here.
Frank is here. Yes. Jim is here. All right, folks.
Just so you know, I'm watching. The first time ever, I'm watching this on Peacock.
Okay, so...
And just so you know, if you're watching a Peacock, my time is 1:26:33 seconds. So if you're watching a Peacock, just FYI.
Also, if in the middle of the show, for no reason, it flips over to Punky Brewster, we'll know why.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, Punky!
My dress is like Punky Brewster.
Okay. On that note, we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, there's our man, the Fink. Let's all find out who drew number one. Are you ready? We're also going
to
see how much of this Peacock edits.
I have to forewarn you guys. I have a very playful and aggressive cat down here. So, hey, Slick Rick.
A lot of cat people around.
Yeah, well, Wade, I was on a podcast with Wade, and he was playing with his toy just as we're doing the opening few minutes. Wade's like, Frank, is that your cat? I was like, yes. I was mortified.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wade's used to cats on podcasts. So Ric Flair draws the number one, folks.
Ric Flair, and if I'm not mistaken, he was getting ready to exit WWE very soon thereafter.
That was the plan, and that was something that was still being actively negotiated.
Yeah.
But yeah, the plan is for him to vamoose.
Yes, sir.
I think they did right by him, and they only, Vince only made him do one big job on television, and that was it. And in a number two with no
one. There he is, whatsoever,
Mr. Bob Backlund.
You know, I was thinking about Backlund today as I was getting ready for the show, knowing that he was in the Rumble. And I think his heel run was very underrated. Like, I remember looking I'm just thinking back on it, the feud with Brett and all of that. He lost to Diesel, but it was a very underrated time. I thought he did a great job, you know, for what he was, switching over to that heel character. I was impressed. And
to tell you what, that tavern jacket he's wearing is underrated.
That is fantastic.
That's a really nice tavern jacket.
That's what we need. We need some nice Wayback Playback tavern jackets, I think.
Yes,
now,
we do.
Battle of who has the redder tights?
Oh, well, I don't know. I think Backlund might have that one.
He might.
You know, it's amazing, though. I mean, there are a lot, as I was watching this earlier today, you know, there are still a lot of territorial dream matches in this Rumble. I mean, give the guys who were world champions. You know, their reigns crossed over.
Yeah.
You know, and they even had a unification match in Atlanta. You know, so this is, you know, for a lot of fans, I would imagine this is really cool because you've got a WWF champion against the NWA champion.
Yeah.
And you know what else there is? I mean, we went through the 92 Rumble and Flair interacted with, it was like all of Ric Flair's ghosts coming after him. The one guy he didn't get to interact with because he wasn't there was Backlund.
The guy who's tan as a ghost.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. I almost reviewed the 92 Rumble for then and now. I just, there was not enough time. But, and this one, too, this was on my list because it was, you know, the first one with Stakes. The first time that, I shouldn't say that. 92 was the first one with Stakes because that was for the title. But
right.
This was the first where the winner gets the title match.
WrestleMania show.
Boy, old Rick can sell, can he?
Yes, he can.
Oh, boy. I just...
Down goes Flair. No!
That used to be Backlund's finish.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That was the big finale of the Backlund matches.
That's right.
Well, let's see. Let's find out who's in at number three.
Who's number three? Oh, for God's sake.
Papa Shango.
And it's so funny seeing this guy. This guy is like everybody's best friend, right? Charles Wright. Like, everybody loves this guy.
That's true. But, that's what people are waiting for. The face-off between Papa Shango and Bob Backlund.
No, forget it. I'm waiting for the face-off between Papa Shango and Bray Wyatt.
Oh, hey. we got a Mania coming up, so.
Who can make Randy Orton vomit first?
Yes. You gotta work the boogeyman in there somehow. Oh, there we go. Flair and Backlund eliminate Papa Shango, man. That's a sentence you don't never think you'll have to say.
Well, if you want to get technical, he's a former unified champion in Memphis.
That's true. That's true. Charles Wright. Oh, here we go.
Oh, I mean, this Rumble plays back to Flair, who was obviously, the famous Rumble the year before, where he was number three and ended up winning. So this plays back to the end of the year before as well.
Right. And why not? I mean, it's as good a way as any for Flair to exit that weekend. You have the Rumble and you have then the Raw match airs. Matter of fact, the Raw match had already been taped, so.
I noticed a trend. Sometimes I think WWE likes to have previous winners come out number one. Like, I just reviewed 2005, and I think Benoit was number one, and he had won the year before. What I mean? So I think
won with an early start also,
Backlund. Did these guys, I might have missed you guys talking about this just now. Did these guys ever meet at all?
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They did?
They had a couple times, I think, yeah.
They had a unification match in Atlanta.
You were talking about
Bob talks about it in his book, where there was a lot of, he felt, weird discussion happening backstage before the match, and he was worried there was going to be some kind of screw job.
Okay.
Like, they were trying to screw him, and, like, Jim Crockett wouldn't tell him what the finish of the match was. And finally, I guess he called, I don't know if it's Vince or Vince Sr., and he's like, what's going on here? There's something fishy going on. And according to Backlund, right before the match, finally, they worked what they were going to do, which I think was a count out. But Flair comes into Backlund's dressing room and there's been a misunderstanding. Please don't hurt me.
Mm-hmm. My uncle would tell, because he would go to the Garden all the time. He'd go see Bruno, and he would tell me they would constantly do like count out finishes and stuff. Especially with with Bruno, you didn't want to beat Bruno in the Garden. I mean,
riot.
Yeah. you have a riot on your hands. Now it's funny. I was just Jimmy Hart coming out with DiBiase. I had to do a double take, but I forgot they were Money Inc. at this point.
Right.
They were. I forgot Jimmy managed. Right, because didn't they do a turn? I think it was Earthquake and Typhoon. Jimmy was managing them. Then they did a double turn. I remember that, like a house show or something, right?
No, they did. Yeah, they turned. The Legion of Doom. Money Inc. was supposed to beat the Legion of Doom for the title with the help of Natural Disasters. But when the LOD, when Hawk got popped for drugs, I think it was.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do that, and they couldn't do Legion LOD versus the Disasters at WrestleMania that year. They switched it over, had the Natural Disasters turn heel, never showed the match where Money Inc. won the title.
And that
was it. They just went that.
I remember they did. They showed it on TV. Hey,
Brian Knobbs, folks.
Brian Knobbs.
Number five. Nasty he is.
Is he? Is he the one that's friends with Hogan? Is he pretty close?
Okay. It's not that Jerry now. It's not that Jerry Sags isn't friends with Hogan, but yes, Knobbs is.
Yeah. Brian, I think they're. Isn't there a connection with Cody, or am I confusing that? Am I confusing that with Typhoon? I think Typhoon is his uncle or something.
Typhoon's his.
Uncle Fred. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. All right. No, Flair stays in this one.
Jerry. All right, nasty boy's working a little rough.
Yeah, well, I mean, and plus, I mean, it does make sense. Brian Knobbs goes after the guy, you know, one of the guys he's feuding with, so.
Yeah. That's a nice thing about these Rumbles. You know, they tell a lot of, they intertwine a lot of stuff. You know, they revisit old feuds. You know what I mean? Like, they try to revisit old stuff.
You kind of have to. As somebody who's booked, like, Rumbles on the indie, on the indies, if you need some stories in there, but otherwise it's just going to be kind of a slog.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful to balance out, you know, to balance out the faces and the heels in there, and then the guys who work and the guys who sort of can't, you know.
Yeah. Like when we did, not to get off topic, but we did 05. I mean, there was some story in there, but not much. I mean, everything was basically about the end. Everything was about Cena and Batista. You know, Edge had a big night. You know, I think he eliminated Flair. So there was a lot. There was a lot I didn't realize about that Rumble. Until I rewatched it, but you know, it was so anyway. Oh God, the yawn. I remember the yawn.
Pity City, yes.
Oh, I remember this.
A pit stop.
God, Brian Knobbs.
Yep.
Very tight. I thought I was gonna miss the music, but there's no music in this Rumble, so it's like, you know.
They've got the horn and they've got the clock, and here comes Virgil at number
six,
former $1 million champion. Wrestling superstar, former Soul Train Jones.
Good old Virgil. Who what they call him? They as a rib on Vince, they called him Shane in WCW.
They called him Vincent first.
First they called him Vincent, then they called him Shane. It's like, really?
And then he became Curly Bill. So.
What was that?
Then he became Curly Bill.
Curly Bill. I don't remember that. Curly.
It's
Bill.
Okay. It's okay. You didn't miss much.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, Frank. Here we go. So yeah, Virgil and DiBiase, again. Yep. All right.
Virgil had a cool theme.
Yeah, Virgil. Yeah, it kind of did.
It was catchy, you know.
Compared to some, they weren't all winners in the theme song category.
Yeah. Mm. I remember I used to get those the WWF fan club. $20. Hey, goodbye, Brian.
Knobs throws himself out over the top rope. So.
Oh, is that Danny Davis out there? Get out of here.
For
God's sakes.
And you thought he was barred for life, but he wasn't.
Danny Davis. We just talked about him recently, too. A couple of friends of mine and I. Dangerous Danny.
Yes. All right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Now, Bill Alfonso escorting Brian Knobbs to the back. There we go. All right. So are we going to go for the chicken wing?
The chicken wing. The cross-faced chicken wing.
You know what? He might be, might very well be setting this up.
Was he doing that?
No, he's a babyface at this point, so
doing the chicken wing. Yeah, but wasn't that a heel thing, or that he was always doing that?
No, he did that as babyface.
He did that as babyface.
Okay.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was a little young for Backlund's first run.
Here we go. Let's find out which tremendous international superstar is drawn the number seven.
Virgil and Teddy still got, you know.
All
right,
yeah.
Let's see who comes out here before I say something.
Oh, here he is.
Hey! I didn't realize he was in this.
Yep, Lawler's here.
So what's crazy with Virgil and DiBiase, this is 93. They had a Mania match in 91, didn't they?
Right, they did.
That's crazy. Wow.
And look, Flair goes after Lawler. How about that?
Yeah. And he's going after him, all right.
All right, this is just fun, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Flair knows that he's gonna be fine. It's like Lawler's gonna pretend to hit him, and the punches aren't gonna register, and they're gonna have fun. I mean,
right.
You know, you can find it on YouTube that one time when Flair shows up in the Memphis studio, and they do the whole 10-minute match, and then 5 more minutes and Lawler wins, all that stuff that Flair always did, but they never had a singles match.
Mm.
They never had a singles match for the
kind of a shame. Title. Definitely a shame. Here we go.
I don't think they had good chemistry together. At least that's what they claim.
Maybe they
had one match, and they didn't like it, and like then they replaced Lawler with like Coco Beware.
For God's sakes.
He got the shot.
Okay, here we go. So
here comes Shane, Virgil, Vincent.
Lawler's going to fight his way out of this. Yes. So yeah, Lawler's a recent addition to the WWF roster at this point.
Yeah, what was it? USWA folded or something? Or
Not yet.
Oh, it was like a crossover or something?
Yeah, sort of.
They kind of
Max Moon.
Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, you know, Lawler is a huge superstar, but there's something about he always felt diminished in WWE.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't feel as big as he should have, I felt.
Yeah. Vince is never going to let, you know what I mean? If somebody gets bigger elsewhere, right. You know, he's never going to. You know, he's got to put his stamp on it, otherwise,
his body type doesn't help.
Yeah, Vince brought Lawler in to be an announcer. I mean, this is, you know, so, I mean, you know, everything was him being a chicken scratch heel in order to get the announcer character over.
Yeah.
Lawler's diminished. Plus, you know, you've got a company that is desperately trying to come up with ways to do like fresh shows, full length shows every Monday night, and that Lawler was in the business of that. Lawler did that for years, and he's not a guy you go to for that.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. Well,
Lawler seemed interested, but you know.
And he still had Macho Man on commentary, like, you know, not for nothing. I mean, you know, it's unless Macho wanted to do that, I don't get the impression that he did.
Oh, by the way, Max Moon is in the Rumble filling in for the injured Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I don't know whether they mentioned. I don't know if they mentioned that on the broadcast yet, but that's why he's here.
Yeah.
Max Moon looks like he could be in Toy Story.
Yeah, he could.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yep. No, absolutely.
I'm gonna think about that now, Jim. Every time every time Toy Story's on, I'm gonna think about that.
Max Moon. Yep. Paul Diamond.
Oh, yes, for God's sakes.
Opening match and beyond.
Yes. Outstanding. All right. So Buzz Lightyear with the kick, and who's going to draw the number 8, folks?
So Jerry Lawler doesn't have a friend in Max Moon. How's that it?
Probably Woody or Jesse.
Max Moon is there we go. Max Moon is out.
Maybe that evil prospector.
Oh, and look, Yanachiro Tenryu.
Tenryu.
Yes. Oh boy, they hyped him, didn't they? Huh?
Yeah, they did.
Tenryu was it? Tenryu and Kabuki the following year Luger had it like Luger could participate in the Rumble, but Tenryu and Kabuki had to be in there by orders of Mr. Fuji or something.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. And Ric Flair's like, really? I got it. Yeah. Ric Flair's selling for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Last weekend in.
One of the biggest stars ever in Japan. And by the way, we want to wish him the best. Wasn't it announced that he was suffering from heart failure?
Yes, it was, I think. Yeah.
Right. So hopefully he'll recover.
Yes, hopefully. All right, so we have quite the cross section of wrestling in here right now.
Yeah.
Gonna say these six men.
You got Japan, you got Memphis, you got WWE, you got Japan, Maron, you got everything. Yeah.
Japan, I mean, DiBiase and Tenryu were very familiar with each other, so they obviously lock up.
So Flair's gonna go over and work with Virgil.
Yeah, Flair's like, crap, I got Virgil.
Yeah. That's why you got to call it first, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who you're pairing off with in these matches? Okay.
Yeah, this is where it gets to be a little bit of a slog now, you know. But, right. Yeah, I guess you know you got to have those times, and you know what I mean. In the Rumble, it's got to slow down before it heats up.
Well, you got to have interesting stuff in the first half of the Rumble, you know, to get the fans in on it.
Yeah.
The problem is if you don't have, you know. I mean that's why they've gone to having so many surprises on the back end, I think, in recent years.
Yeah. All right.
Here we go. Number 9. Who will be number 9? Number 9.
You still get excited for this, even though this
is Mr. Perfect.
Hey! God rest his soul, man.
Yes. No. Oh, there we go.
Yep.
Flair is there. Flair being aggressive heel.
You know. It's funny, just talking about heels when I'm on with Greg or, you know, Wade or whatever. For some reason, I always reference Mr. Perfect. Like, I always come back to him for some reason. Like, I thought he just sold so well. I thought he was the perfect heel. You know what I mean? He just,
Well, I mean, 89, 90, 91, yeah.
You know? You know what I mean? Like, he could lose and get his heat back right away. Like, he was just that good.
The heading neck snap, sort of.
Oops.
Oh, wow.
Can I watch the next several minutes? Tenryu has got nothing to do.
Yeah.
Watch Tenryu just walks around the ring. Especially when there's an odd number of superstars in the ring. But Tenryu's got
you Backlund? Come here.
Nothing to do.
Yeah.
Ric Flair, the first of the "Hey, we need a baby face, so we're just gonna turn you for no reason."
All right. well, I mean that's wrestling sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, they did it, but you know, I tease, but they also I remember
Prime Time Lawler.
I remember the episode they did it, and they did it pretty well. I think they were in a bind because what was it? Warrior got fired or something.
They were in a real bind, yes.
And they're like. So I thought they handled it well. I thought they, I'm sure it wasn't the original plan.
I mean, you have to give credit to both Hennig and Bobby Heenan for that. They made it much better than it would have been otherwise.
Oh yeah, they handled it fine.
Okay, here we go. Backlund's got DiBiase, and Tenryu's hanging around waiting for whoever's coming in next. Oh, here we go.
Skinner! No, get at it. Oh, my God.
Hey, Skinner.
It's Skinner.
Steve Kern. Fabulous Gator Boy.
correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he run FCW for a little bit?
Yes, he did.
Look at that.
As Jim was going for, he said he was a Gator Boy. We said, see you later, boy. All right. Oops. Oh, there we go. Oh, no. Is this it? Yep.
Son of a gun. Look at that.
Flair is gone and Hennig celebrating. Oh, there we go. Ah.
Can only imagine Bobby yelling, "That's not fair to Flair."
Yeah, no, but yeah, Bobby's not. Now he's good. Now Bobby's doing the "It's not fair to Flair." Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here comes Lawler.
By the way, I love that Lawler's tight. Looks like the side of a 1970s man.
Yes, they do.
Those things are airbrushed to the max.
You know, talking about dream matches before. Like, I wouldn't want to see Lawler versus Perfect. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
that would have been something.
It happened. It happened.
World title.
Yep. Happened in AWA and in Memphis too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I was mostly WWF as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, I really didn't start watching. Like, I would watch that Saturday morning show, like the NWA on Saturday mornings that they had.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Well,
given where you grew up, Frank, I mean, that's kind of to be expected, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. Oh. All right. So, yeah, the girl is still talking about how Flair's gone, and, you know, There weren't that many potential winners in this crew here. So Flair getting out kicked. Oh, look, he's pulling his pants up to his nipples. He's fucking me well. There we go. Thank goodness. Joker Beware, number 12, I believe.
The Birdman.
Bird is the word. Bird. There we go.
You know, if you wear baggy pants like that, it looks better if you have like a slim waist. And they pop. Coco is really heavy.
Man. Well, yeah. Well, yeah. But on the other hand, his pants are really baggy. So
they are. Yeah. It's like Homer Simpson wearing clown pants. These are the most comfortable pants I've ever worn.
That's right.
God, I mean, I couldn't believe how heavy he is.
Backlund and Steve Kern. Here we go. Nope, nope.
Thought well, we're you know, the story about those guys, Backlund and Steve Kern, that those were the two choices that Vince Sr. was going to make to replace superstar Billy Graham. Steve Kern and Bob Backlund, and they obviously chose Bob Backlund.
Well, yeah.
But Kern was the other choice.
Okay.
Tender was like, what do I do?
Yep. Yes. Tenryu's like at the point he's like waiting for Inoki to come out so he knows when to leave. Baba. Okay, yeah.
Giant Baba.
There we go. Hey. I think at this point, you know, Ted DiBiase and Tenor are just sort of amusing themselves here.
Yeah.
Yes, my podcast partner, Fumi Saito. Yes. What the hell was Tenor doing in this? I mean, look at him. He's like, what do I do?
Yeah.
I know this guy. I know DiBiase. Okay. Look at him. He's like just walking around. He's
Look, here we go.
Oh.
I get the referee.
Wait, this is who now?
Sam?
That's Samu, yeah.
That's Samu.
Yep. Samu 13.
I get confused with these guys. Samu. Yep.
Samu Fatu.
That's his brother. I get so confused with these guys.
There is a Sam Fatu who is Rikishi's brother, but it's not this. But it's not Samu.
It's not Samu. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean that's the best Sam way I can explain.
Is the Tonga kid.
Right. Oh, look at that. There we go. All right, Lawler. Yep. All right, where's Tenor? Tenor's like standing. Yeah, Tenor's just standing around.
Yeah, he's just like standing around. He's like, who do I go after?
Maybe they'll forget I'm here. Yeah.
This is like Tenor's easiest match ever. It's like, you've got one of the greatest wrestlers of all time in Tenor. One of the biggest stars in the history of Japan.
Right.
And he's doing nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the great buildup he got for this. Oh man, it's Tenryu, Japanese guy. Yeah.
Superstar from Japan, Tenryu.
Yes. Moving right along, it's the Repo Man. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, it's gonna happen.
Right.
Oh, sorry. Is that a spoiler?
Yeah. Well.
Kind of. I didn't hear anything.
Okay. Here we go. All right, so well, we got Lawler and Virgil. Lawler's like, I don't know what to do with you, Virgil. Let me get back to Kurt Hennig. Here we go.
Hennig, I know, yeah.
So his kid is Lance. I'm just Googling. Is Lance Anoa'i?
Yeah.
Okay.
From NLW. Yep.
Yeah.
Here we go. And 14 is. It's the Berserker.
Oh my God.
Huss.
The Berserker.
Yes.
Little quick, so I'm in the chief pilot's office. I had to pick up my mask, and I'm talking to one of the assistant chiefs, and he's from Minnesota. So we just start yakking a little bit, and I told him I did stuff with the wrestling. He's like, "Oh yeah, Minnesota. I used to watch AWA," and he actually mentioned John Nord by name.
Right.
Actually, I was like, "Oh, that's this is cool." You know,
or the Barbarian. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, there we go.
The Berserker.
A Berserker.
Vince with his gimmicks.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, there he goes.
Bye, Jerry.
Kurt Hennig drops Jerry Lawler. Oh, and DiBiase. DiBiase and Samu are trying to get rid of Mr. Perfect. We're not quite there yet.
Oh.
Wow. That's a lot of energy. There we go. Oh,
that's great removal.
Wow.
That looks like they actually want him out.
Yeah.
That looks good.
That is good. And Hennig's fighting. I mean, Hennig looks like he's actually fighting to stay.
Yeah, this is weird right now, but...
it is kind of weird.
Being aggressive.
Was good there for a little while. There we go. Lawler helps eliminate Perfect.
Apparently
just setting up a match in the Mid-South Coliseum in front of 1,800 people. Frank thinks I'm kidding. Anyway.
No, I believe you. I believe you.
All right. Here we go. All right, Berserker goes right back after Coco Beware.
Yes.
We don't know why.
Berserkers don't like Birdmen.
I guess.
I read that somewhere. No, I didn't.
I find your neon green pants offensive.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. All right. Okay, coming in at number 15, who could it possibly be? Okay. Jerry. My Undertaker. Listen to the reaction.
Good old Paul.
They're excited.
Wow.
Yep.
He was another one when he turned babyface, what, about a year earlier? It came off strange, but then it like oddly made sense.
It worked, yeah.
Yeah, like it worked. Well, Jake was a big part of that. You know what I mean? Like he.
Yeah, without Jake, it doesn't work nearly as well.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Is Berserker gone?
I think so.
No. He went through the middle rope.
Okay. Oh, he's going after Backlund with a chair, which I'm pretty sure the rules frown upon that.
But the other thing with The Undertaker
is
fans are going to choose.
Goodbye.
I'm sorry.
Fans are going to choose a baby fan, going to choose a heel who doesn't lose. Kind of like a different energy, but like the Road Warriors. You know, you're going to eventually back a winner. And The Undertaker was clearly a winner.
It was.
Wow, look at that.
Oh, there goes Tenryu, yes.
Tenryu, yeah.
Tenryu's like, thank God.
Finally a big guy to throw me out. Okay. So, Samu's gone, Tenryu's gone.
Courtesy Taker of The Undertaker. And DiBiase.
Yep, of course.
Well, clearly.
Ah, yes. 1990.
Where the big man starts eliminating people. This is what would be the Kane spot eventually.
Mm-hmm. Backlund is down, but not out.
Huss.
Coco's trying here. Come on, Coco.
If his pants were up 6 more inches, he'd have him out.
He'd do it, yes. They call that move the Fred Mertz. It's quite impressive.
Oh, God, Fred Mertz.
All right, number 16. Who better than Terrific Terry Taylor filling in for the injured Crush?
Now I got my volume down. He's going by Terry Taylor here.
He's Terrific Terry Taylor, if I remember correctly. As a heel. Yes.
Thank God. Thank God he's not the Red Rooster.
He's like the second tier heel. Yeah.
Oh God, I couldn't stand the Red Rooster.
Well, it took years for him to get over, like, you know, people at the arenas, you know, making Red Rooster jokes. And mostly it was me doing that, but there were other people doing it too. There we go. Ted DiBiase just eliminates Coco and Terry Taylor.
Stay with Terry Taylor's hat.
Good night, Terry.
I mean, he lost a 1-2-3 kid. Yeah. He was never one.
Yeah. He's down at the bottom there.
Another guy who was, you know, good elsewhere, and Vince didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to do anything with him.
Right. Okay, so there we go. All right, so we're down to The Undertaker and The Berserker, and Bob Backlund, I think, still on the floor. Plus, and Undertaker and Berserker had feuded in 92, so what is this?
It's the world's largest
Slim Goodbody impersonator. I don't. What in the heck?
You know, I'm upset that they didn't have that costume in the store the other day.
Yeah, I'll bet. Oh, there we go. So Berserker's gone. Yeah, they need to sell that on WWE Shop Zone.
Exactly. Who would not want a giant Gonzalez?
Oh my God. Undertaker's like, what is this? That's Jorge Gonzalez, folks.
I don't even know. Is there like a legacy? Like a nice one? Like a Mattel or something? A Jorge Gonzalez figure?
I don't know. Gonzalez.
They just stand there. They're doing.
Okay, so number 17 is coming in. Who's coming Damian in to break this up here?
It's Damian Demento.
Oh man.
Which is the guy lower than Terry Taylor?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Which, you know, I saw him since we got 10 minutes before they lock up.
Yes, we do.
In Florida for IWF, and I thought he would do something in WWE, but nope, not at all.
Yep, he was Mondo Clean, if I remember correctly. Yep. And Damian Demento was a better name than Mondo Clean. Oh my goodness, Giant Gonzalez eliminated The Undertaker, despite the fact that Giant Gonzalez wasn't technically in the match.
Right.
You know, if you saw Elegante and you saw this, you'd think, oh, it looks like this guy, Elegante, is marginally better than he was in WCW.
Right.
Then you'd see WrestleMania 9. And go,
that was terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, Undertaker here is making him look like something, because the Undertaker doesn't get oversized by other guys. You know, doesn't fight guys bigger than him very often, and doesn't get thrown around like this.
But literally, this, you can't call it a match, but whatever's happening here is the best performance of this guy's career.
Mm. Yep.
Well, I don't know. He did help RoboCop that one. Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Okay.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah. He was also handcuffed to Ole Anderson during a match, so that was... Ole did a great job selling that, though. That wasn't really...
Oh, God, what an awful choke slam.
Yes, it was, it was hideous. I want to belt.
Sheesh.
Jorge Gonzalez, super nice guy, according to everyone, so...
Yeah.
And died, unfortunately, died not with us young. Anymore.
Okay, well, he's got to go and, yeah, he's got to go and pick nits out of his costume or something. I don't know. Oh, here he comes. Urban R. Scheister is number 18.
You know, rumor has it he wanted Bray to pay taxes when he was 6 years old.
I believe it.
That's why Bray is so angry now.
Well, that would do it.
Bo Dallas got off easy, but Bray not so much.
That's why Bray went living in the woods. He was hiding from the IRS.
Yes.
So we're living in the swamp. Yep.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, send the referees out to take care of Giant Gonzalez. That makes sense.
I mean, seriously, if you're like 6 or 10 watching this, this has got to be amazing.
It is. I mean, maybe if the referees had like stood on each other's shoulders and challenged them to a chicken fight or something, it would look more interesting, but I don't know. Ah. That's a monster. And Heenan's going, he's a monster. He's not human.
Look at where they shoot him. I mean,
yeah.
You're like, wow, this, you know, this, yeah. They did this perfectly, really.
No, yeah, it was, you know, it's. It was the right thing to set up a feud, you know, just the.
They hit so many limitations.
All right, Undertaker's still out. Backlund is getting worked over by the villains. Oh, Damian Demento's turned on IRS, or IRS turned on Damian Demento. It really doesn't matter. Right.
Yeah, I thought Damian Demento would be a bigger deal in WWF. But,
yeah, I did too.
You know?
I mean, great look.
You know, because he was kind of the indie scene for what it was.
Right.
He was kind of a big deal on the indie scene.
Yep. Oh, there we go. Okay, let's see what we have coming up here at number 19. Tatanka!
Tatanka
to the rescue.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't have with representation being so important these days, I don't understand why they don't have a dignified Native American wrestler on WWE television. I don't understand.
That would make sense, yeah.
One would think. Are there just none out there? Or, I just don't know. But it just seems like...
I mean, you think if... I mean, this is WWE, though. You'd think even if they couldn't find one, they'd take one of the 6 dozen people they have in NXT and say, hey, how would you like to be a Native American? Come over here. You know.
There you go.
You can. I don't know if you can still do that today, but...
Well, you can't do that as easily, but I mean, it's like it's not on their radar, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Go get him, Paul Bearer.
If they can make Apollo Crews talk Nigerian, and if that's even Nigerian, well, he sounded Jamaican for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Kofi Kingston's accent.
Oh God, I remember that. What's up, Josh? Oops.
He's getting dialect lessons from King Booker. Yeah. I like the idea. I'm not sure that, you know. I like the idea of doing something different with Apollo Crews because what they were doing with him wasn't working.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. It's just like, I don't know. The accent's a little, exactly, yep. You know, but the idea behind it, you know, let him, I got no problem with anybody, you know, highlighting their roots. You know?
Yeah.
So. But he could do that with his natural accent just as well.
Uh-huh.
Good old Tatanka.
Here we go. All right.
I like Tatanka.
I did too.
Number 20 coming in here. It's Jerry Sags.
Jerry. I actually knew that Tatanka was coming to the WWF. I just listened to this radio show in New York. It was like 2 in the morning. Jody McDonald and Rich Mancuso. And Wade actually worked with them a couple of times. And yeah, they said, yeah, Chris Chavez is going to make his debut in the WWF. And lo and behold, there he was.
Oh, I'd seen him in South Atlantic before then, yeah.
You could see his body and know he was going to Vince.
Yes. Yeah, there were some guys you could just, even on the smaller promotion shows, you'd look at the one guy who was just jacked and like, okay, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got South Atlantic here for a little while.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you got it before, and you got it while it was still good, before they went to like a 35-week feud between Wahoo McDaniel and Manny Fernandez.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, when Ken Shamrock was Vince Torelli.
Vince Torelli, yes. That's right. All right, there we go. So, yep, they're setting up the feud between the Nasties and the Nasties and Money Inc.
And Money Inc.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't anyone else left for the Money Inc. to feud with.
Right.
So, yeah. All right, here comes Backlund. They pointed out how deep Backlund is into the Rumble.
Yep.
So we're at like 38 minutes at least. Yeah.
I actually thought, like, watching this, I was like, could they actually have Backlund win this? Like, you know?
I mean, Bret Hart versus Backlund headlining a pay-per-view? I mean,
yeah, it's a little tough to take.
That's a little far-fetched. 21, it's Typhoon!
Hey, Uncle Fred!
Yay!
Don't trip over the board. Oh, wait, never mind.
Nope. All right. There we go. Yeah, and Heenan immediately calls him Tugboat, so just to let you know. Just to let you know, he's on top of his game.
Tugboat. I'm actually doing I'm doing WrestleMania 17 Sunday.
Oh, wow.
I'm gonna review that, and the gimmick battle royal, and
great show.
He was Tugboat.
Hey, makes sense.
Good old Tugboat.
As long as he could still fit in that outfit.
Actually, before he left WWF, didn't he go back to being Tugboat for a little bit?
I don't think so.
I don't know why I think that, unless I'm confusing that with just, you know, the gimmick battle royal appearance.
Yeah.
I feel like he went back to Tugboat like right at the very end, you know. Mm, but
well, yeah. Well, the sad thing is he never got to be Sheik Tugboat. So.
Have you ever guys seen him live, Fred Ottman? Have you seen him live?
No.
Yeah, I have.
He is such a large person, and his chest. He's so barrel chested that his head looks tiny. He looks like he has this tiny head, and he doesn't. It's just that his body
yeah.
is so big. Yeah. His chest, yeah.
Oh.
But you see him, it's like he looks like a shampoo bottle or something.
Yeah, well. Yep, there we go. All right. So yeah, this is the part where it's starting to drag because.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, Backlund's in there. You know who Backlund is. And, yeah. And there's Tatanka. And
it's none of the guys that you thought were going to win this at this point. Like, you know, I mean, maybe Backlund, you know, but like, as I said before, but, you know.
Yeah.
There's
Fatu.
There's Fatu.
All right. Another future Hall of Famer.
Now, wait, this is Keish, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Number 22. There he goes. Okay.
So let's see.
This right now, who would have guessed that the biggest star in the ring would be Fatu? Who would guess?
Yeah, that's true.
Which goes to show, I mean, never give up. This guy was a tag wrestler forever.
Yep.
Went through, you know, the
a
Sultan,
bunch of gimmicks, yeah.
Make a difference, Rikishi.
Make the difference, Sultan.
Yeah, that it finally worked out, and he became a huge, huge star.
Right.
Amazing.
Freaking Jimmy and Jay. I'm Googling here. Jimmy and Jay were 7 years old here.
Wow.
They were my my middle daughter's age. Just crazy.
Okay. Here we go. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right. So, well, somebody's bound to do something sooner or later.
Yeah. It's And now I think I remember watching this with family, and everybody's like, all right, come on, let's go. Let's get, you know what I mean? Let's get to something.
You know how sparse it is in the ring right now? None of these guys have a podcast. I mean, think about it.
Wait a second. That's got to be wrong.
No.
Jesus, Conrad Thompson needs to get to work.
Yeah, I'm serious, Conrad. Yes.
Look, I want the Damien Demento cast.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
I should make a few. I should call John Paz. He probably can get a couple of those guys on. Anyway, 2, 1. All right, what do we have next? Anybody? Number 23, it's Earthquake.
Earthquake.
Yes. Save us, Earthquake.
Another one. God rest his soul.
Yep. Hey, or, I mean, when Earthquake walks down the aisle and he livens up the Rumble, that's, you know.
That's very telling.
Yeah. Oh, he's going right after Typhoon. Well, yeah. We have a story brewing.
What was the Rumble? Was there a Rumble that Demolition was 1 and 2?
Yes, and that would be.
That was like 90, right? Something like that.
I want to say 89.
Yeah, one of those. One, yeah. For some reason, I remember, you know.
Well, it was a good way to demonstrate to people about the Rumble as far as every man for himself. It was kind of a brilliant move.
Sure.
Show, don't tell. Yep. I mean, it's not as effective as having like 3 screens of text explaining the rules in the match like WCW would do in a similar situation. Yeah.
Or if people climb ladders, start outside the ring, and like a TNA.
Well, with TNA, anytime Mike Tenay began mid-rules match with, it's really very simple. You knew you were in for something.
Exactly.
All right, so Earthquake eliminates Typhoon.
Typhoon.
Hey, man. Yeah. Man for himself, man.
So, Fatu, let me tell you about 7 years from now.
Yeah.
When you're going to dive off a Hell in a Cell into a hay truck.
Yep. And his, and if he was listening, and if you told him that, his answer would be, will I get paid for it?
Yeah. Oh, good.
All right, so here we go. It's Fast and Furious. It's Backlund and Demento. It's Fatu and IRS.
I think WrestleMania should have a gimmick, another gimmick battle royal with the most obscure people. Call it the obscure battle royal. Like, you know, Damien Demento be one of them.
Aren't there going to be 5 shows during that WrestleMania week anyway?
Yeah, the 2 takeovers and the Hall of Fame. And
that's true, yeah.
I've always said that the Survivor Series needs to be like a retro pay-per-view because of the holidays. Right. And you come up with some merchandise, some retro merchandise that you're going to market, and you put those guys that can still go in a ring, but you can protect them because it's a tag team situation.
You do
some sort of retro Survivor Series match.
Gimmick Survivor Series match, yeah.
And it's a feel-good match, right. And you use it to sell merch for the holidays, to sell gifts.
It's like,
why the hell don't they do that? It's like the Survivor Series has history.
Somebody would have to care.
Yeah.
What, you don't like the battle for brand supremacy, Jim? Come on now.
No, you could still have that. I'm saying that, you know, it's a marketing opportunity that they're missing.
As Gorilla Monsoon has pointed out, that youngster Carlos Colon is in the ring with Damien Demento.
I looked it up. 24. He is 45 years old here.
Well, he is a youngster by modern wrestling standards. Yeah. And he does eliminate Damien Demento. So.
And he's been wrestling, by the way, since 1966.
Wow. Okay. Mm. All right, we have John Tenta and Backlund tying up.
Well, think about this, though, too. They're talking about how old Bob Backlund is. He's a year younger than AJ Styles is right now,
yeah.
Wow.
So, really, Backlund should be tagging with a really tall guy here.
Yes.
Okay. See, he should have tagged with Giant Gonzalez.
Perfect.
There you go.
There's your WrestleMania right there.
Yes.
Backlund and Giant Gonzalez versus.
There you go.
Against the Nasty Boys. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. All right.
I'm waiting for AJ and Omos to call themselves the Colossal Connection 2.
Hey, I like it. Awesome. 2-1. All right, here we go. And what do we have next? 25. It must be Tito Santana.
El Matador. Tito.
All right. Excuse me, Carlos. Yeah. All right. Yes.
Yeah, Carlos Colon would wrestle as Carlos Belafonte after Harry Belafonte.
Wow. Well, it kind of looks like him, yeah.
Yeah, he'd wrestle. Here's what is Carlos Belafonte.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Belafonte.
Good thing.
He does look like him. Oh, my God.
It's a good thing nobody explained that to Vince, because he'd be coming out today.
Yes.
Today.
He would.
Yes.
Yeah, too bad they couldn't team him with Art Barr as the juicer.
The banana juicers. I like it. I'm surprised they didn't give No Way Jose that gimmick. Jeez.
He lives that far from me.
Yeah.
His wife is pregnant. Yeah, his wife is pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, so is mine.
Quite a congratulations.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Here we go. All right, Backlund. Backlund's tired. You don't normally see Backlund tired. Well, or he's selling. Probably he's selling.
If I'm not mistaken, had Backlund been on television prior to this?
Yes, he'd been. Yes,
he was. Okay.
They built it up like he was. Vince was comparing him to George. This was after George Foreman won the heavyweight title in boxing.
Okay.
Was comparing him to George Foreman.
I know he came back. But he wasn't on like every week, you know. They'd use him sporadic, you know what I mean? They'd use him sporadically, and then they turned him, later on.
They'd send Backlund out of house shows to work with Shawn Michaels, and Shawn's like, "What do I do with this guy?"
Mm.
Rick Martel. It's not a Rumble without Rick Martel.
Rick Martel.
All right, there we go.
I'm still looking for that arrogance sprayer.
I think you can find it at any Home Depot, like in the weed section.
Yeah.
That's
the sprayer, yeah.
Yeah. Right. These guys are former tag team partners. Strikeforce.
Yes, they are.
Yep, they've been 4 years now. They've been feuding. There we go. All right, so IRS is eliminated. He can finally go to the back.
Yes. And you can accuse everybody of not paying their taxes.
All right, so it's number 20. I mean, 26 guys. There's only 4 guys left, and look who's in the ring.
Yeah, not exactly a murderer's row, for sure.
No, it's not. Oh man. All right, so Jerry Sags and Tent are just chatting.
I don't remember, but Pat, I don't remember murderer's rows really, like in these rumbles. More like recently, you know what I mean? Like, I don't remember a ton of big stars and all these.
Well, this started out as you wanted to put like 30 of your guys there, you know?
Yeah.
Of your current roster. You wanted the current roster. You didn't do surprises.
Sure.
You want to get over the guys who are going around and touring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have big stars in the ring.
Yes, that's true.
They've been in the company a long time. That's the issue.
Yeah, Rick and, Tito. Yep.
Nobody that's seen as the as a potential headliner.
Yeah, exactly. What's Earthquake? Earthquake wasn't going to win this.
And I mean, it wouldn't have mattered maybe if you hadn't just said that the winner of this is going to headline WrestleMania. Number 27, it is.
There he is.
There he goes. All right, so Yoko taking his time.
Yoke.
All right.
when they said the amount of food he would eat on that that special on the network,
that Coliseum video. Yeah, that Coliseum. Well, there was that Coliseum video. I forget which one it was, where they did Yokozuna and Mr. Fuji at dinner, and they took him into like a Benihana, and he just sort of, you know, just sort of show him wolfing stuff down. That's like,
yeah.
I mean, it's not fair to say wolfing stuff down, but he ate a lot. I mean, this is not a should not have been a surprise to anybody.
Well, Brett said he went to the bathroom and he broke the toilet, like he didn't know what to do. Like, you know, it's
it's sad.
You know,
I don't think they have a lot of toilets for 500-pound guys.
Not really, not that I know of. Yeah. You know. That documentary, though, if you know, that really...
The Icons documentary of Yokozuna, yes.
That shed a lot of light on things, you know.
Yes, so, be sure to watch it if you can actually find it on Peacock, or if you can find anything on Peacock.
Yeah.
Right on that. All right, there we go. Yoko and Earthquake, yes! Something's happening!
Irresistible force, meaning the immovable object?
Something
Earthquake was an actual sumo wrestler.
Right.
Yep.
So he
wasn't at a high level, but he was okay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he knows enough to pull it. He can pull it off in the middle of a wrestling ring here in Sacramento. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
They did this well.
Yep. They should. Yep.
But I thought when they did some of this stuff that Earthquake was kind of offended because, like, you know, I'm legit. I don't want to sell for this guy.
Owen is 28.
Owen, wow. Owen doesn't even get the camera on him. Wow. Well,
that should tell you where he is in the company right now.
Well, he's the guy that got beaten up by Razor Ramon to set up Brett and Razor Ramon. And, you know, so, yeah.
I'm still not over it. Like, I'm still not over his passing. Like,
no.
I was working. No, I was actually working. My mother and father were at our cousin's house, you know, and they ordered the pay-per-view. And my father actually called me at work. He actually called me to tell me about it. It was tough to hear.
Yeah, it wasn't watching. It wasn't any fun either.
Oh God.
Well, I mean, you didn't actually see the fall, but you could hear. I mean, you could hear the Jim Ross saying, "Hey, we got a big problem out here." You know.
And he handled it so well. He handled it so well.
Yeah, I mean, as well as you're going to.
Because what did he? You know, what was he going to do? You know, and he. He handled it about as well as you could have, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, if you read JR's book, he tells a story of, they're waiting to come back from break, and he goes to Kevin Dunn, well, okay, what happened to Owen? Owen's dead, Jim, and we're back in 5-4, you know, that's that's horrible.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's a little something a little great. Happier. Owen and Rick Martel. Probably,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Tito.
I don't know what Tito thought he was doing there, but he wasn't going to get by Yoko.
Nope.
Yep. All right.
A little more sushi there, Tito.
Yeah. So let's see.
Nope. Oh, nope.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we got two more wrestlers left. Who can it be? Number 29 is the Repo Man.
Repo Man. Here comes the... never mind.
He got a pop, and then people are like, I'm sitting down.
You know, I make sure I lock my car at night. Ever since this guy made his debut, I make sure I lock my car at night.
All right.
You know, they stole that gimmick from Ned Brady.
Yeah, Nasty Ned.
He was the repossessor. And he sent the pictures and stuff to Vince and tried to get a job. And next thing you know, Vince put out.
Like, we can do it with a real wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the man looked chubby, by the way.
Yeah, he is. Well, Repo Man, you'll recall, originally brought into the... WWF by Ted DiBiase to repossess the $1 million belt from Virgil.
Hmm.
Remember? If you don't, that's understand.
I don't.
That's okay. Pepperidge Farm remembers. It doesn't.
I don't remember that.
Yep. All right. So, they're gonna all team up to eliminate Yokozuna. Here we go.
Yeah, might not want to use the middle rope, guys.
No, probably not. It's like they couldn't get him over the middle rope, let alone the top rope. So.
Wait. So Owen's got the other taxi cab uniform on. They were
high energy.
Him and Coco. Yeah. High energy. First they tried the new foundation, and then high energy.
Yep. Well, you know, I mean, if you want to, you got a young wrestler, and you want to get him experience, you know, get him in some tag matches.
Sure. No, they were smart. They were smart to team him with Neidhart. That made sense. Yep.
You know, so who's number 30? Who could it possibly be? The last chance to take out the Repo. I mean,
I'm
not the Repo Man,
now.
It's the Macho Man.
My favorite of all time.
People like anybody, somebody, anybody, please.
You know, Macho was such a pro.
Yeah.
In, you know, putting people over and doing things. It's like, I understand that Vince wanted him to be the Babe Ruth, but I think they spent too much of his wrestling capital here because he's not the same Macho Man right now because he loses too much.
Right.
Now, I understand that he could or should lose some to make new people, but it felt like they went to this well too often for it to be effective.
Right. Yeah. What's that?
Sorry, go ahead, Frank.
No, I was going to say he lost the title, and then pretty much after that, I don't remember him winning a match, you know?
No, he didn't win many, no.
After, you know, it's just there was a lot more to gain out of Macho Man. I mean, could Macho Man and Bret have main evented that Mania? I don't know.
It wouldn't have been the worst idea they'd had.
You know?
But, I mean, I understand. You create a new monster for Bret. Yeah. And there goes there you go. Bye.
You'll make up in 2 years.
Yeah.
That looked beautiful.
Yeah, Repo Man's gone. All right, so your final four is Backlund, Martel, Savage, and Yoko. And how many? Martel and another final four. Good job, Rick.
Yep.
I mean, Brett versus Martel, they could have done a good match.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a main event.
No, it's not. But they've had a good match.
You said Backlund and Martel?
No, Brett and Martel.
Oh, Brett, yeah.
That would have been.
Yeah. I mean, if they were doing B pay-per-views back then, if they were doing every, you know, once a month, like you could do that.
Right. Yeah, you could.
You know.
All right. So here we go. It's Martel and Backlund. Man.
You know, earlier I wanted to put something out a couple minutes ago. Owen skinned the cat, pulled himself into the ring to get back in. And one thing I noticed this last rumble is a lot of people fell out with their hands in the skin the cat position and couldn't do it. Mm. Nobody does that anymore.
Yep, that's true.
Everybody got in under the top, under the bottom.
You need like that. Yeah. You need like that, I guess, that tremendous core strength, I think.
Yeah. By the way, where's the bottom turnbuckle?
I don't know.
Undertaker take it?
Somebody must have gotten knocked out. It's against the ring post. All right, so they just set it against the ring post there. Backlund eliminates Martel, and suddenly we're down to three, and Backlund's one of them. Holy cow.
So 70s meets the 80s meets the 90s.
Yep. There we are. Yoko's like, what, really? There you go. I mean, stick and move.
Yeah.
You can do it, Bob.
They could have. I don't recall Yoke and Backlund doing anything after this.
Well, there's a reason. Yep. I mean, but it's an easy story to tell. Backlund's worn out, and, you know.
Yep.
Step slow. All right, so here we are. It's the Macho Man and Yoko.
Yeah, we were. So my uncle, my aunt and uncle were over the house, my grandmother, my cousin. So we were big Macho Man fans. We were cheering pretty hard for Macho Man.
Oh, yeah.
We were. Yeah. It was, but you kind of knew. You kind of knew that, right. Yeah, they were giving this to Yoke.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Macho Man and, you know, Macho Man and Flair were really the headline match of WrestleMania 8.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's certainly within the realm of possibility, of course.
Yeah. I mean,
they could have done Brett and Savage.
Sure.
Wouldn't have hurt Brett a bit. Would have been better for Savage than putting over Yokozuna as much as he did.
You know, and then announcing at WrestleMania.
Yep.
But, I mean, what a pro here Savage is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Doing this. I mean, you got to respect him for that.
Absolutely.
Savage did, I mean, the way I see it, Savage did whatever was asked of him, and he did it so well. Like, he was so meticulous with his matches. You know, like, I actually called him, I actually consider him the original Mr. WrestleMania, because even if he lost, his matches were just, you know, a big deal at Mania, no matter what he did.
Well, that's true. I mean, even WrestleMania 10 with Crush, not the top match on the card, but definitely a lot of fun.
Sure, sure.
Whatever you call it, the construction, the tying of the knot didn't work, but yeah. WrestleMania 10.
Here we go. Savage not going down without a fight.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Vince, I mean, he's making Savage look good here just in case it doesn't work. You know what I mean? Like, just in case it doesn't work out with Yoke.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think Savage could have stayed with Vince forever, but he and Elizabeth split. He had only done this retirement announcing thing basically because that's what Elizabeth wanted. She wanted him off the road.
Yeah.
So he wants to go back out there full time. Vince doesn't see it. You know, Hogan calls and Bischoff calls and they see it. So yeah, I don't think it was as much about the money as he wanted to get back out there.
Yeah.
Money didn't hurt, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You liked money.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, plus the guaranteed job for his brother, I think that helped too.
Sure. Yeah, what was it, about a year and a half after? Yeah, like almost 2 years after this, he leaves. You know,
'94 he leaves.
And in 94, yeah, because, yeah, he was in and out of the ring, you know, they had Survivor Series and, you know, that he was announcing mostly, and then they did the match with Crush, like you said, and that it was mostly commentating. Mm. But definitely had more in him.
I think the other thing that was kind of weird about this is, you know, Yokozuna's Fuji's guy, and Fuji was never a manager of top guys. I mean, Morocco, I think, was as high up the chain as he got.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, Morocco was mostly mid-card, or, you know, he would get title shots.
Intercontinental title. I mean, intercontinental title level.
Yeah. But,
you know, definitely not a guy you see as a – he didn't manage anybody you'd ever see as a serious contender to Hogan.
Nope. Nope. Not until Yoke.
Yep. Oh. All right. So yeah,
I mean, they made this a match. I mean, at least they made this something. You know, they didn't let Savage go down easy. You know what I mean?
Right.
They didn't let him go down easily.
Well, Savage was in at number 30. He was fresh. So, and Backlund did break Flair's record for longest amount of time spent in the Rumble, which was the whole point of doing it in the first place.
Well,
they didn't want Flair to leave with that, holding that record.
Yeah.
There we go.
I get, and in retrospect, I get what they saw in Yokozuna. I get it.
Oh yeah.
You know, I get what they saw. And like back then, it bothered me back then because I was a fan of Savage, so it bothered me. You know, being honest. But you know, now looking at this with different eyes, I get what they saw in Yokozuna.
Yeah. Well, they they knew that they didn't have the guy who could headline against Brett, so they made the guy.
Right.
Oh, there we go.
The big elbow.
And here we go.
Yeah, and he tries to cover.
And that's the part that makes Savage look dumb.
So. Yes, I remember this now. That was awful. That was awful. I remember this now. Ugh.
And Yokozuna is your Royal Rumble winner.
But you got to give Cass Savage credit for being able to propel himself over the top rope from that position effortlessly. I mean, that takes talent. That was the finish is stupid, but the technique is appreciated.
Oh, yes. We do appreciate this. All right.
By the way, just for the record, no one of Japanese descent is in the ring right now.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Just for the record.
I just want to put that out there.
Yeah. Mr. Fuji is Hawaiian.
Yes. Yes. Well, Bobby Heenan says he'll be a national hero in Japan, so.
Yeah.
If I'm the Caesar's Palace buffet, I'm scared.
Right. No kidding.
Fuji, he lived a while, Fuji. Where'd he go? He went 82 years old. God bless him, 82 years old.
He led a long life, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And everybody's out like, this ending sucked.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, let's show the tremendous highlights, Gorilla Monsoon says.
Yeah. Sherry.
Or the highlights, yes. Yeah, but this definitely let the air out of the place.
Razor, I feel like Razor, if he was in the WWE in the roster split era, I feel like he would have gotten a world title run.
Yeah, lots of people got world title runs.
Like like he would have been a SmackDown guy, I think.
Right.
Plus,
they were looking for they were looking for different things. Somebody with the talent that he had.
Yeah.
Yeah, the look he had. Yeah, I can see that. Absolutely. I don't know. Let's see. I'm afraid to ask which generic movie library they rated for this music. Oh, Yokozuna posing with the press. Oh, yeah. There's Bret Hart.
And there's Bret. And listen, they were smart to put him with Brett.
Well, yeah, of all the guys, yes.
Okay,
so is this... That's it, folks. Yes, the 93 Rumble is finished. Kaput. Complete.
Do you want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business? The infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order. Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit. Give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Thank you very much. Hope you're enjoying the weekend and the Ring of Honor anniversary show and all of that. Now, let's get to what happened next. The next night, of course, was January 25th, Monday night. That's when Raw aired Mr. Perfect beating Ric Flair in the Loser Leaves WWF match. So he is out of there. And also the next night, WWF taped Superstars at San Jose State University in front of 5,000 people. They taped matches for WWF Mania and for Coliseum Video. In a match taped for WWF Mania, it was Coco Beware beating the Repo Man by DQ. Yeah, Dave Meltzer was present. He called it one of the worst matches ever. So just be sure to check that out. And are you ready for? And since this was the build for WrestleMania, so there were actual main event matches on Superstars during the weeks they taped. February 13th show, it's Tatanka beating Shawn Michaels in a non-title bout. Set up their WrestleMania match. February 20th, Bam Bam Bigelow beats Earthquake by countout. February 27th, the Big Boss Man beats Doink the Clown by disqualification. And in the dark match main event, Bret Hart defends the title against Bam Bam Bigelow. Meanwhile, over in WCW, they spend their Monday night at Center Stage in Atlanta, Georgia, taping WCW Saturday Night for the next 2 weeks. The first week's main event, Sting and Dustin Rhodes beat Vader and Barry Windham by disqualification. They need to get the, that's got to be up there somewhere. And February 6th main event, Barry Windham beat Sting by reverse decision disqualification. So there's definitely a trend there. And USWA on February 1st, they do their tag, they in front of 2,082 people, they do the tag team tournament to crown the new USWA tag team champions. And it is Moondog Spot teaming with his new partner, Moondog Splat, who win the USWA tag titles. Oh, yeah. And in the main event, Jerry Lawler beats Mr. Perfect by disqualification. So there we go.
There you go.
We got there eventually.
How many matches did you list? And like one of them was a pinfall.
This is 1993. So, yeah.
Disqualification. Count out. Disqualification.
WWF not giving finishes. Come on now.
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't just WWF. It was, you know.
I know. I'm saying the only people that got a pinfall was the Moondogs.
Well, they're the Moondogs. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they deserved it. All right. So we are at the end of this episode. Now, normally this is where we'd pick out matches for the poll, but as you know, it's a very special time of year, Jim. And, There's only one time of the year where we do this, and oh jeez, nope. Yes, it's one of the worst studio albums in the history of professional wrestling. It's the wrestling album of 1993, I believe.
Oh good lord.
Oh, WrestleMania the album, that's right.
Oh good lord.
I don't care what you say, this song is my jam.
Absolutely.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, Linda McMahon's theme is my jam too.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, so yes, it's WrestleMania season.
It's now, my boo. So.
Now, this is a special time of year. Okay, the way we've been doing it, and I guess the way we're going to do it this year is in increments of five. So last year, WrestleMania 3 won, and the vote was between 3, 8, 13, and 23. So this year, the vote is going to be between, well, starting with WrestleMania 4. You know it. You love it. It's the tournament. It happened in Atlantic City. What? 14-man tournament plus the Honky Tonk Man defending the Intercontinental title against Brutus Beefcake, plus a huge battle royal with a trophy at stake. You know, lots of stuff going on there. You remember this, Jim?
It's an awful show. It goes on forever. Yeah. So
I expect some people to vote for it as a result.
Right.
Then we have WrestleMania 9, and Lord knows we've spent 5 weeks building up to WrestleMania 9. So. On this show, so some people might want it. I understand that. Money Inc. defends the tag team titles against the Mega Maniacs of Hulk Hogan and Brutus Beefcake. And yes, Bret Hart versus Yokozuna. And there's some other stuff going on the show. Frank, you're excited?
Thrilled.
Yeah, WrestleMania 9.
Yeah. Oh God, what a show! Hey, you know, we got the Hogan title change at the end, so it was all worth it, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah, all worth it. WrestleMania 14 in Boston. Let's see. It's Undertaker wrestles Kane for the first time, not the 5 millionth, the first time. And Shawn Michaels defends the WWF title against Steve Austin with Iron Mike Tyson as the special guest enforcer there. Yeah, that's that was kind of a big show.
Sure was. Sure was. The Austin era has begun.
Coronation.
Yes. And WrestleMania 24, this was Orlando, the Citrus Bowl. Many of you will remember it as the night that in the main event it was Edge defending the title against Undertaker. Or maybe you'll remember it as, let's see, no. Maybe you'll remember it as the night that Big Show took on Floyd Money Mayweather.
Pat, I'm sorry. I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody thinks of it that way, though. Or maybe everybody remembers it. Everybody pretty much remembers it as the night Shawn Michaels wrestled Ric Flair. I know that that wasn't the main event. I know that technically there was a title match with Randy Orton defending against John Cena and Triple H for the WWE Championship. But yeah, Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair. So those are your choices. They're going up on Twitter at Real Pat McNeil, and I think two of those are pretty much acceptable, Jim.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of key moments in WrestleMania history. There's, you know, WrestleMania 4, you got coronation of Randy Savage. WrestleMania 9, you've got the Zsa Zsa Gabor of WrestleManias. And then, the other two, you know, kind of speak for themselves as far as their place in history. So no, there's some good stuff there. And it's going to be interesting to see with some of the shows, if we get it looking back, if they still hold up. That's going to be very curious. Of course, some of them didn't hold up in the moment, but we'll find out. Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, some of them might be torn for shreds when the Peacock editors get hold of them. You don't know.
I know.
Yeah.
Crazy what's going on right now. Someone on New York Sports Radio just ranted about that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I understand why they're doing it, but that doesn't mean it's fun for us. Okay, so go ahead and visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. He is at Jim Valley. Jim is. And by the way, buy all of Jim's shirts.
ProWrestlingTees.com. Yes. You can find the three shirts you can choose from. One of them doesn't have the other.
Okay. And and I believe Frank's Twitter handle is Frank Pettiani.
That is correct. At Frank Pettiani. And yep, do the VIP show for the Torch, WWE Then and Now, and the Raw and SmackDown primers. I'll be posting SmackDown's preview tomorrow around lunchtime.
Excellent. Well, actually, this airs Sunday, so you'll be putting up Raw's preview tomorrow around lunchtime.
Wait a minute.
This airs Sunday. Anyway, well, and God knows if they listen to the Patreon version, they'll be all confused. But yeah, Frank's previews come out Monday and Friday. How's that sound?
There you go.
Thank you. And by the way, leave us a 5, 6, or 7-star review up on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever your favorite pods are cast. We love it that way. Patreon.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast. And of course, Facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast. Yeah, that's it. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. That's how you reach us. Okay. And if you'd like to know more about Ric Flair, Bob Backlund, Papa Shango, Ted DiBiase, or the Nasty Boys, you can visit pwtorch.com or f4wonline.com or the Wrestling Observer, or go check out your local library app because they're all in books. Jim, you have anything to add? You already did your line.
Why ever? No, not really.
Okay. All right. It's been great with you guys. We're going to have another special WrestleMania moment. You guys will pick the WrestleMania moment, and we can't wait. Until then, thank you very much, Frank, for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Pat. Thanks for having me. Great to work with you guys tonight.
Yes, and then thanks to Jim, who is getting stronger every week, I believe. And until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, and next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.